Hi everyone, and welcome to the Vookcast, Australia's Nintendo podcast. I'm Angelo Valdivia, and with me this week are Oliver Brandt.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No worries, thanks for being here, and Luke Henderson.
I just RSVP'd for something else, but this is where they sent me, so I'm here. Hi everyone.
We've got a great episode for you this week, all about a new Paper Mario announcement, more NES and SNES games coming to Nintendo Switch Online, what's going on with Nintendo throughout this worldwide isolation period, but first, Animal Crossing New Horizons has sold over 13.5 million units since March 2020. So, as we know, Animal Crossing New Horizons has been ridiculously popular since the start of the worldwide lockdowns that have been happening all across the world with in regards to the coronavirus outbreak. Lots and lots and lots of people engaging with each other, sharing all sorts of ridiculous outcomes with their villages, all those kinds of things. It's been a really shareable kind of game. It's really just exploded into mainstream culture. But with that also, Nintendo Switch console sales have reached over 55.5 million units, which is an incredibly high number. That's what, it's about four times more than the Wii U sold in its entire lifetime. Is that right? Wii U was like 13 million or something?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's incredible.
It falls a little bit short, but yeah, pretty much there.
Yeah, it's incredible. And Animal Crossing itself has actually surpassed Nintendo's predicted lifetime sales. By comparison, Animal Crossing New Leaf back in 2013 sold just 12.5 million units in 8 years. So within just under 2 months, the game has outsold its predecessor, which is incredible. It's just absolutely insane. Guys, how do you feel about this? What other games have you seen that might have come close to something like this?
In these times, nothing really could have come close to this. I mean, we've seen some pretty big hitters, in their first month of sales, which is essentially what we're looking at here. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate in its first month of sale hit about 10 million units, if I remember correctly.
No, a bit more than that, but yeah, they did double digits anyway.
And, you know, we've had a couple other games, like Pokemon Sword and Shield, hit like I think it was 14 million but I mean obviously that's Pokemon, that's the biggest media franchise in history, so you'd expect it to do well, but like this is just kind of insane. I mean, like, we know that Animal Crossing sells well, but like I don't think anybody could have really predicted this. I mean, I think even in the book Slack we were predicting, you know, 7-8 million in the first few days, and then, you know, we know that they sold 11 million in the first, like, what was it, 10 days on
11, yeah, March 20th.
The first 11 days.
Literally a million copies of that game sold per day in March.
Which is just nuts. Because, like, again, we know that Animal Crossing sells well, but it's usually one of those games that has, you know, a slight bump at the beginning, and then, you know, it's what Nintendo calls an evergreen title. It keeps making money and keeps selling, over the lifetime of the console. So the fact that it's already hit, you know, 13.5 million and probably much more than that by the time we're recording this, like, It's just nuts. And I think, like, you know, it was the perfect game at the perfect time, but like also just wow. I could not have predicted this.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting when you mentioned Pokemon Sword and Shield. I mean, they've sold like 17 million since they released, haven't they? So that was since October. So that took them, what, 7 months to get to that number. Whereas Animal Crossing has done that in 2 months, or almost that much in 2 months. And that's without something like, you know, Australian mid-year sales contributing to that, or the holiday season, like the biggest worldwide shopping season. That's just happened at the beginning of the year, which is just absolutely insane.
And the other argument, or the other side to that argument, is Switch supply has been dramatically impacted as well. So you could imagine that if Switch consoles were pretty readily available in shops, that Animal Crossing number might have been even higher, you know, by a factor of 1 to 2 million.
That's kind of the insane thing, is that, like, we know that, like, this isn't as good as it could have done, and it's still better than anyone ever could have expected. I mean, it's just, I don't know any other games, like, this immediately has shot to being, like, one of the best console exclusive titles, like, of the generation. It certainly surpassed any console exclusive on the Xbox One, and I think it's like only like second to two games on the PS4, so like it's already just massive.
Yeah, it is. It's done so well. I think Nintendo's confused as to what to do next. I think they had a roadmap to help keep those sales going, and I think their roadmap was just minor updates. Now they're like, okay, we hit our lifetime sales goal already. What do we do next? I mean, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, so going on from that, I mean, again, using Pokemon Sword and Shield as an example, I mean, Pokemon Sword and Shield have expansions still to come, what, next month or the month after? And those are paid DLC as well. So they're already going to be limited in terms of how far that's going to get them, because only a fraction of the people who own those games are probably going to go back and buy the DLC. Like, I'm probably not going to buy the DLC because I didn't even finish the original mainline story of Pokemon Shield. Whereas Animal Crossing presumably will continue to get free updates. It will continue to be supported for however long, because we also have these seasonal events that are happening. We've already had a couple of them, and there are still more to come. And again, you know, holiday season will be another big one, presumably. Halloween will be another good one. So there's still going to be all this like crazy support going in through it, because Animal Crossing isn't a game that you just play through and then you get to the finish and then that's it. Like, this game is supposed to be like a lifestyle game. It's one that you check in on every now and again and you see what's new with the game. So there's still a lot more to come, which I think will just be reflected in more sales.
Just like on the topic of Pokemon Sword and Shield, though, it is like worth noting that at 17.37 million units sold, it is now, you know, in sort of fourth place in terms of Pokemon games, because we have, you know, Red and Blue, obviously, gigantic sales. Nothing is ever going to touch that. Gold and Silver. And then Diamond and Pearl is at 17.67. And I would guess, just because we don't have data for, like, the past 6 weeks, that, like, Sword and Shield has already surpassed Diamond and Pearl. So it's really on track to becoming one of the best-selling games since the series started.
Mm.
Which is, you know, a bit of a controversial game for some people. But I think the DLC that you mentioned is definitely going to push it over that line for sure.
Yeah, sure. Alrighty, moving on. Star Wars Episode One Racer gets delayed on the day it was meant to release, which was May 12th, so 5 days ago as of recording. This was an interesting one to wake up to. On the Vuk Slack, for example, when we were all kind of just jumping on in the mornings or something, at least from my perspective, I jumped on and saw that the game hadn't released yet, and we were all just kind of like, what the hell is going on? And turns out developer Aspire says its working from home arrangements have impacted the release, including the PS4 version. So it wasn't just the Switch version that's been delayed, it's also the PS4 version, which is unfortunate for people who are really looking forward to that one. But as yet, we don't have any mention of a replacement release date. So...
Can I just say, yeah. I call bull on that answer, because they announced like 2 weeks ahead of that the PS4 version was being delayed, and they didn't provide a reason why then. They said Switch is still on track, PS4 has been delayed. And then the day before release in the US, day of release here, they came out and said, no, Switch has been delayed because we're working from home now and that's more challenging.
Hmm.
And it's like...
It is a little bit disappointing to see that like it took them so long to announce the delay.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, you know, it's difficult, and, you know, in times like this, there might take longer to get it processed through the eShop and go through lot check and all of that stuff. But I mean, like, I feel like you would probably have a good idea at least a couple days before if your game's not going to come out. For us in Australia, like, we, as Angela, you said, we were, you know, speculating when it was going to release, because, like, as far as we knew, it was release day and it wasn't out yet. So we're like, well, you know, sometimes they come a little later in the day. And then, yeah, ended up with the announcement that it had been delayed further. I'm not going to go too harsh on them, because, like, again, I know that it's a difficult time for any developer to be releasing a game. But it is a little disappointing just to see... The announcement that it was delayed was left so late, because a lot of people were really keen to give it a go.
But on the other side of that, as someone who wasn't even really planning on getting this game anyways, because, you know, Star Wars Racer wasn't really one of my top Star Wars games anyway. I mean, like, this is a 20-year-old game. I think we can probably wait like another couple of weeks or another month or something like that for some people. Oh, I don't know. That's just me talking.
Absolutely. Like it's not like imperative that it releases anytime soon. Like it could be pushed back 6 months and like it's really not going to make that much of an impact on my life. Like I'm going to buy it. I'm probably going to play it for about an hour and then not again.
I already own the game twice, so I'm not too worried about it. I have it on the 64 and the PC already, so it was just more the lack of notice about it is what sort of gets my...
Yeah, it was the short notice that I think got a lot of people upset. And, you know, I guess that, you know, in-game development, that kind of thing happens. It sucks, but, like, you know, we're in a post-coronavirus world now, so...
I mean, the alternative...
We're going to get a lot of... Yeah.
Well, the alternative is that the game, the remastered version is on PC as well, isn't it? That came out a little while ago.
No. The PC version is just a port. There's nothing different about it.
Oh, right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, and that's...
If you want to play it, it's there.
But the Switch and PS4 versions are not remasters. They're just ports.
They're just straight ports. Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. So there's no fancy visuals or anything that, you know, they got stuck on or anything. That's why if you look at the screens or the video that have been released so far, it's not the best looking of games, but it is a port of a Nintendo 64 game. So
it has been expanded to widescreen, though. That's the one thing that they have done with it is made it widescreen, which, you know, it's not that much in terms of like remasters, but like, you know, it's something. It's widescreen now. And it's not going to have little black bars on the side of your Switch.
It's got that
when it eventually does release.
It's got that up over Knights of the Old Republic though on PC, because, you know, that has to be modded to get widescreen.
I'm just grateful that it doesn't have it's not the Game Boy Color version of Episode One Racer, because that was pretty bad.
I don't think we have to worry about any Game Boy games coming to the Switch anytime soon. Luke, you can take this next story.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago now, 2K started teasing out a new golf game in their 2K Sports series, which is, you know, most noticeably known for the NBA series and, unfortunately, the WWE series. And then this week they officially debuted PGA Tour 2K21 and announced that it is coming to Switch on the same day as the other platforms, which is a big thing because a lot of games tend to come a little bit later on Switch for some reason. Obviously, though, there is a caveat with this. The game is releasing day one, but it's only going to be on the eShop. A retail release will happen a bit later. And it's not unheard of. 2K did this, I think it was last year with NBA. I might have been the year before. They released it on the eShop first, and then a few weeks later it was in stores. So that is a new full golf game coming from HB Studios. They're the folks that made the Golf Club series, so that they know golf games.
Do we know anything about...
It's...
Oh, go on, Ollie, please.
I was just going to say, it's kind of a big deal just as the first proper... you know, 3D golf sim. We've got games like Golf Story and a few other like party golf games, and those are fantastic games, and I very much recommend everybody play them. But like, for people who are really into golf, there's not really anything that really quite gets it right as far as like golf sims. As you think about a golf sim, you know, there are a lot of those even going back as far as the Nintendo 64. So it'll be really interesting to see how this performs on Switch, I think. 2K games have been a little bit hit and miss on that front. We'll see in August, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we got a proper golf-type game, not a mini golf, not a top-down tabletop arcade experience, whatever, was, sadly, the Wii Sports Club golf thing on Wii U was the last time we had a sort of a proper golf-type game. Obviously, that wasn't full. The last one was probably like Tiger Woods 09 All-Star on the Wii. So Nintendo fans have been without a proper golf game for some time. So this is good news for anyone who's into that sport.
Do we know anything about how the game's going to be controlled? Is it just standard sticks and buttons, or are there going to be some motion controls or anything like that?
Based on the developer, HB Studios, in the past, they've done just standard stick controls. So, you know, pull back, push forward, or the old power meter with the buttons. They give you the option because they, you know, all about options. They haven't said it's going to have motion controls, but given that that's one of the Switch's biggest selling points as well, is, you know, you still got that motion option. Wouldn't surprise me if it's not included, but at this stage they haven't said. One thing I do know that will be included is the golf course maker. So you will be able to create your own golf courses and then share them with everyone so everyone can play on your you know, creations or hazards, depending on your skill level of creating things.
Cool. Alrighty, moving on was a surprising announcement that I don't think many of us...
Can I take this one, Angelo? It's really cool.
If you want to, go for it, Luke.
July 17th is a big day because Ghost of Tsushima is coming out. Hang on, wrong platform. No, July 17th, Paper Mario and the Origami King.
Yes. It was kind of a surprise to come out, to wake up to the other day and see that Paper Mario, the Origami King, got an announcement, despite the fact that it was sort of in that leak that came out a few weeks ago talking about Mario's 35th anniversary and a bunch of remasters and things like Super Mario 64 and Mario Galaxy games, etc. But a new Paper Mario hasn't been mentioned up until, what, Friday morning, something like that for us. Which is really, I think is really exciting. It's currently available to pre-order for $79.95 on the eShop.
It is also a part of the game vouchers program already too. So if you've got a spare voucher from that, you can use the voucher on the game.
Yeah, which are a good deal. If you're looking to buy Nintendo published games or games developed by Nintendo, definitely, and you want to get them digitally, definitely look into getting them via the Nintendo Online vouchers that Luke just mentioned. If you have a Nintendo Online subscription, they're very good value for money. Very good value for money, I think.
Yeah, it's $135 for two vouchers.
When I
saw this, I think it might have been Ollie that dropped the tweet in the Slack chat.
Yeah, and it's usually me.
I just saw it and I was like, oh yeah, cool paper. I honestly thought it was like more wallpapers. Because they've been on a kick the last sort of week. Oh, you know, we haven't said anything, but here's some wallpapers. So we're still not saying anything. Here's some wallpapers. And then I just saw Paper Mario. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Paper Mario wallpapers. Because we just had Star Fox the other day. So that's where I saw it. Was I was just like, oh, cool. Paper Mario wallpapers. And then it wasn't until like the chat started like just creeping up exponentially all of a sudden. And I'm like, hang on, let me pay more attention to this. And then realized, oh, it's actually a trailer. Why is it? Oh, it's a new game. Cool. So that was my sort of takeaway from it, is that I wasn't expecting it, so I didn't even think it was real to begin with. I thought it was just wallpapers.
What about you, Ollie?
I think it looks fantastic. Like, honestly, I got the notification because, you know, I have notifications on for Nintendo's tweets because, you know, why not?
They tend to do things like this.
But I got the notification, like, clicked into it, and then I was like, wait a minute, this isn't something that I've seen before. And I was like fully expecting it to be like, you know, a port or something, but then like it was these fantastic new visuals, and like I think the origami style is fantastic. I'm a little sad that we don't get Origami Mario. But you know, maybe we do and we just haven't seen it yet.
Well, hang on, you don't know if you answer yes to Peach's question, if the game like, he becomes origami and the game ends, you don't know that yet.
But no, I think it looks absolutely fantastic. I think it seems to be a lot more of a traditional game, which I know a lot of people were really excited to see. It brings like partners, for example. We know a returning mechanic, which haven't really been much of a thing in recent games. Personally, as far as Paper Mario goes, my favorite game was Super Paper Mario, which was not really an RPG at all. But honestly, I don't think I've played one that I haven't absolutely loved. Even, you know, Sticker Star on the 3DS, which was a little bit frustrating, but was still such a fun game. And then Color Splash on the Wii U was probably some of the best writing in a Nintendo game that I've ever seen. It is just so full of charm and wit. And I think if they've got the same writers and, you know, they've done their homework on this, it could be a really, really fantastic game. And it's like so soon, like only 2 months away.
I love that overall, so since the series kind of began on the N64, they've had basically the same sort of, the same visual style, but even now, like, it still looks just like the N64 game, just with, like, better lighting and maybe just a little nicer around the edges of the modeling and things like that. But ultimately, it still looks the same from the N64, like, 20 years ago, which I really, really appreciate. I think Paper Mario is the perfect way to do just a kind of a silly Mario RPG styled game with really simplistic graphics and just lots and lots of characters and these really vibrant environments and stuff without, you know, breaking the graphical budget per system.
Well, that's the thing you say is like simplified and all that sort of stuff, but there's a scene in the trailer where Mario's on a, like a canoe going down river, going down like a sort of a steep incline and sort of thing. And if you look at it on the side, there's like trees that are going multiple colors, like it's autumn. There's a toad on the back with a barge pole and he's got a little like straw hat on. There's, you know, water splashes going everywhere. You look at it and you're like, it still looks like Paper Mario, but it's like, you know, it's jacked on some sort of magic juice now because it looks so good. The whole, that one section looked just incredible. And then this is coming, you know, the night after the night before the Ghost of Tsushima stream. So I was watching the Ghost of Tsushima thing and all I could think was like, hey, that reminds me of that scene from Paper Mario. And they're two vastly different games in terms of their actual design, but because of that quality level that they both have, it just, yeah, it looks amazing and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, and I think, like, going back to what you were saying, Angelo, is that, like, it is, like, one of those really strong arguments for having, like, you know, a more stylized art style is the kind of one that, like, can hold up over time. It's like you could go back and play the original Paper Mario or, you know, the Thousand Year Door or even Super Paper Mario, and it's still going to look great today. And I think it's going to be the same thing with, you know, the Origami King. That's what it's called, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And, like, I think, you know, in 15, 20, 30 years, it's still going to look fantastic because it's the art style isn't trying to be super realistic. It's not trying to be anything more than, you know, some cute drawings, you know, cut out on paper. And I think that's one of the really fantastic things about the series is that it is kind of timeless.
And, yeah, I think you're right there. These sort of offshoot Nintendo platformers really do lend themselves some big favors by being hyper stylized and doing their own thing. I mean, like a traditional Mario game will take advantage of whatever graphical power the current console that it's on can provide. But you think of something like Yoshi's Story, how it is also sort of like a pop-up book-esque thing. It's another sort of like paper cutout styled game. You've got like the Kirby games on 3D, on DS and stuff, which are just, I'm thinking like Epic Yarn, for example, which is supposed to be looking like sort of knitted fabrics and things like that.
Yep.
You've got the original Yoshi's Island, which is supposed to be like crayon drawings and all these type of really just artsy, childlike games. Even like the latest Yoshi, Woolly World, Crafted World.
Crafted World, yeah.
Even that just looks incredible, and that'll probably still look great in 10 to 15 years. So, yeah, these sort of like just sort of offshoot versions of Mario games or in the expanded Mario universe just really, really do themselves big favors by just being super stylized. And Wind Waker as well, of course. Some Zelda games also do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, last piece of news here before our featured topic. The NES and SNES apps on Nintendo Switch get new titles. So on the NES, we've got Rygar, which I am not at all familiar with. I don't know if you guys have played Rygar before. Is that any good?
I looked a little bit into it after the announcement, but I'm not really sure I understand what it is or what you do in it. So
yeah, fair enough. On the SNES, we've got Operation Logic Bomb, Wild Guns, and Panel. Is it Panel de Pon? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah,
Panel de Pon. Which was originally released as Tetris Attack in the West. So fans of Tetris Attack will be able to play the original version of the game that was released in Japan. Guys, how do we feel about this? I mean, Daniel and I talked a little bit about this in the Slack a couple of weeks ago about how, you know, it's coming up to 3 months now and we've got this sort of 3 month period between NES and SNES game releases on their respective Nintendo Switch apps. And, you know, it's very, very slow drip feed. How do we feel about these four games being the ones that we get between now and potentially the next 3 to 4 months?
I mean, I love Panel de Pon and I love Tetris Attack. I think, you know, it's a really fun puzzle game. As a colorblind person, it's one of the few puzzle games that I can actually play without any sort of issue. So, you know, I love that. But, like, I mean, it's been 3 months, almost 4 months now since the last ones. And, like, you know, there's not a single Nintendo published game there. We don't have Donkey Kong Country. We don't have Donkey Kong Country 2 or 3. We don't have Super Mario All-Stars. Like, there's just some cool, like, what was the Ghoul Patrol? I mean, I think everybody hates Ghoul Patrol, but, like, a sequel to Zombies Ate My Neighbors, I thought it was pretty fun. Like, there's so much stuff here that, like, is just missing from the service, and it feels a little bit disappointing to come this far and just have, you know, good games, but, like, they're not blockbusters or anything, and when you're sitting on that many games that like, you yourself have developed, you don't have to worry about licensing, you don't have to worry about, you know, is the music okay, is the name okay, you know, do we have it, you know, copyrighted in any particular country. Like, why are you sitting on those? It doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's a little disappointing that, like, you know, they've said that, you know, we're going to keep doing these games, but I don't think anybody's holding out for them at this point.
Luke?
No, I'll be honest, I'm over it. I just don't care anymore. Their lack of interest in putting out games at a consistent pace, and ones that people, and as I was saying this, like, the other day, even if they put out, say, let's Super Mario All-Stars, right, is one game, and then they put three extra games in, like, let's say they took out Operation Logic Bomb and gave us All-Stars, and then the rest of them were the same, people would be okay with that, because there's one that everyone knows, everyone's going to like, and there's a few others that maybe they haven't heard of and they want to give it a try. Like, I looked at Rygar and I just went, oh, it looks like Castlevania, but not Castlevania. And I went,
yeah.
If I don't want to do it, I'll just get Castlevania in the collection and play it there. I'm not going to play a game that looks like it could be a Castlevania sort of clone. And the fact that it's been, you know, months and months and months between, not even like, they haven't even mentioned it. I think somebody asked in the investor Q&A about Nintendo Switch Online, and they gave their standard pandering answer. It's just at the point where I don't care. Like, if I didn't need Nintendo Switch Online for playing games online, if this was, like, the only thing it got me, I would be cancelling the subscription. Because at this point, I don't see a value in it, because Nintendo clearly don't see a value in it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I have to have Nintendo Switch Online so I can, you know, do reviews for online games and all of that. I mean, I would probably still keep it for things like Mario Maker, but, like, if it wasn't for, like, that one game and, like, the fact that I have to have it to cover certain games for folks, like, there's no value there. Like, even, you know, Nintendo keeps saying, oh, you know, we're looking at increasing the value of the service. But they say that every single investors meeting, and you know, so far there's been absolutely nothing that's come close to, you know, like Tetris 99, for example, was such a fantastic little perk to have as a Nintendo Switch Online subscriber, and there's been nothing that has come even close to that level. So it's, you know, it's a little disappointing to see, especially when we moved away from the monthly game releases. And I understand that, like, you know, games, the NES and SNES games that we have, like, aren't endless, but I think people would accept, you know, one or two games a month rather than having to wait 3 or 4 months for, you know, four games that they've never heard of. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with it. And I really hope they reassess sort of the service as a whole, because it's getting a little bit to the point where I'm wondering why I'm bothered subscribing outside of, like, having to, like, you know, why am I on a year plan right now when I could just, you know, whenever I come up with a multiplayer game for review, just buy a month.
I literally encountered the same problem with PlayStation. I was paying, you know, $80 a year for PlayStation Plus, and I was getting all the free games, but I don't play those games because I'm always reviewing something. And at the end of it, I went, I'm not playing online enough, because most of the games I get are either PC or Xbox. And I was like, I'm not getting value from this. So I just let it lapse. I didn't renew it. And I'm actually at the same point now with Nintendo, and I'm thinking, how is this good? How am I at the point where I'm thinking this is not worth me paying? And it's only $30. It's not as if it's $100 a month, a year. It's $30, and I'm questioning whether or not it's worth paying, because what we're getting is minuscule. Compared to Japan, they're getting another free Celeste or something.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, Japan has this fantastic program where, like, once a month now, and they've done one every single month this year, you get a whole week. And I think, like, in one case it was 2 weeks, where you get to play the entirety of a game just completely for free. And, like, they've had games like Celeste. They had Fire Emblem Warriors. I think was the first one that they had this year. And I don't understand like why that's a Japan exclusive thing. It's just so bizarre to me that, like, you know, they have these things that could be really exciting for everyone, and they're just like saying, yeah, no, Japan only. Everyone else, here's your four, you know, Super Nintendo games that you're going to play for 2 minutes and then never open the app again. It's just, it's so weird.
Yeah, just for context between releases, the most recent update we got, apart from this one, which is coming on May 20, the most recent release was in early February. There were the Super Nintendo games, Poppin' Twin Bee and Smash Tennis, and the NES app getting Shadow of the Ninja and Eliminator Boat Duel. And prior to that was an update in December for the NES app, which were Crystalis and Journey to Silius, and the Super Nintendo app getting Breath of Fire 2, Kirby Superstar, Star Fox 2, and Super Punch-Out. Before that was just when the new Super Nintendo app had come out, which had, what, 19, 20 games or something like that back in September. So there has been that three-month interval between releases. And I think we can probably all agree that the most substantial update since the release of the app would have been in December with, you know, Breath of Fire 2, Kirby Superstar, Star Fox 2, and Super Punch-Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, since then, it's just, I mean, like, it hasn't been bad, but, like, the caliber of the games that we're getting and just the recognizability of the games that we're getting has just sort of been going downhill since then. So I don't know what they're doing, but I hope they change course, because I don't know. I don't think you can do this much longer.
Well, that's it. I mean, you just each time it's just diminishing returns, as you mentioned, and it's just, it's less interesting. Like, you just see and you say, oh, it's just more games that I don't really want to play, or ones that I haven't really tried before, or ones that you play for 2 minutes and then forget about, like you mentioned. But yeah, following this pattern, though, that means the next update would be in August or probably in September to coincide with the anniversary of Nintendo Switch Online, much like with the release of the SNES app and the NES app before that.
I will throw up, though, they do tend to throw in one or two of those SP versions of games, which is always nice, but...
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way to do it, because, like, it's sort of like, you know, a free save file that gives you interesting things.
Which is cool, but nobody wants that. Nobody needs, you know, a version of Metroid that sticks you near the end of it with all the upgrades unlocked. You know, people want to play Metroid for their own thing, but the fact they don't tell us what's coming in that, if they do them, you know, so you open it up and all of a sudden you've got, you know, a seventh version of Ninja Gaiden or something. Because, you know, they've decided they wanted to do this.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's also a case, like, with the last set, we didn't get any SP games, but Japan got two of them.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's really hard to know what they're thinking, even. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a big old question mark around that one. But following on from that, the dire mood surrounding Nintendo and what the heck is going on over there, let's move into our featured topic for this episode. So the question that I throw out to you guys is, did Nintendo make the most of the pandemic lockdown season? When I say make the most, I don't mean like distributing the spread of coronavirus. I just mean bringing more attention to the brand, bringing more attention to Nintendo as a whole when people have more time to be focusing on it. Animal Crossing has done very well for itself, obviously, so Nintendo, you know, probably doesn't feel like it needs to do a whole lot more than just kind of ride that New Horizons wave. But looking at things like Microsoft and Sony with what they've been doing, I mean, Sony had their Stay at Home initiative, which offered two free games, Journey and Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection. Granted, they're also classic games, but they're not 35-year-old games that are like, you know, 500 kilobytes big. Journey is considered one of the greatest sort of indie games ever made. And the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection is one of Sony's biggest franchises in recent generations. And, you know, revered for being just super action-packed, very charming, very funny, and just enjoyable stories altogether. And then you've got Microsoft, who have been giving out steady-ish drip feed updates on Xbox Series X, which is coming later on this year. So do you guys feel like Nintendo has sort of rested on their laurels, or do you feel like they're doing okay at the moment?
I mean, it's hard to feel like they've done anything but rest on their laurels after the massive success of Animal Crossing. I mean, like, it's cool and all that Animal Crossing has done well, but, like, you know, there's so much more that they could be doing. And we've seen other companies, even, you know, just the other day, Epic Games and Rockstar made GTA 5 just completely free on PC.
And killed their entire store.
And then keep it. Oh, it did kill their entire store.
That is like, true. And Fortnite. It killed Fortnite.
Fortnite has not killed Epic Games, but GTA 5 free killed Epic Games.
And, you know, as you said, we've got the stay-at-home games that Sony gave out. A couple other companies did that. Like Bandai Namco did that with the Pac-Man Championship 2 edition.
Well, not on Switch.
Not on Switch.
Warner Brothers giving out Lego Ninjago, but not on Switch.
Yeah. I think, just on that topic, I think it not coming to Switch is, like, some weird thing to do with the European eShop store. I've heard from a couple of developers, this is just as a bit of a side, but I've heard from a couple of developers that, like, you can't discount past a certain amount, and, like, with a certain amount of frequency as well. So if you've already had a discount in like the past, you know, 3 months, you can't do another one. But you also can't discount to 100% off unless it's a conditional discount. So it's a little bit of a weird situation where like the eShop isn't really set up in some places to offer a free game, short of like just uploading it as a completely different NSUID, which I mean, I suppose they could do, but then it has to go through lot check and all of that stuff. I mean, it's a bit weird.
It's a bizarre situation.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've seen like all these other companies like doing something, you know, incentivizing people staying at home and playing games. And, you know, as you've got, you know, written in our run sheet here, we've got Nintendo had a Splatoon 2 free trial that lasted for a week.
Not even a full week. I think it was like 5 or 6 days in total.
It was 6 days. Yeah. And then, like, that didn't even coincide with
the Splatfest,
like, the Splatfest that's happening, like, at the end of the month. Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, why would you not get people interested in your game and like, you know, have them playing when there's going to be a large amount of people coming back to the game?
It's just funny because people use the same old idiom that Nintendo goes to the rhythm of their own drums, but they're not even beating drums. They're just in the corner beating pots and pans, something completely different to what everyone else is doing.
Yeah,
it's just strange.
And like, it's not like I kind of feel like, you know, you could have, you know, a couple announcements and like, you know, say that you're doing them in advance, you know, give people a couple days, give people something like something to look forward to. And obviously Nintendo, as you said, is off to the side beating not drums but pots and fans. I mean, they just released the Paper Mario Origami King trailer just on Twitter. Like, I'm not saying that like everything needs to be a Nintendo Direct, but like at least say, hey, you know, tune in tomorrow for a little extra surprise. Because like even small things like that, small things that give people something to look forward to, while they're, you know, stuck inside or unable to work, it makes a difference. And Nintendo hasn't really done anything at all to make a difference other than, you know, here's Animal Crossing. Pay $70 for it.
Yeah, that's it. What about you, Luke?
I mean, they honestly could have just done the easiest thing in the world and just gone, hey, here's the original Super Mario Brothers, or, you know, here's Super Mario All-Stars, or whatever game of the flavor they wanted to on their SNES or SNES apps on the Switch Online. They could have just dropped two games and people would have been like, oh, that's nice, right? Like you said before, you know, they're 30, 35 years old and some people may not have cared. Some people may go, that's great. You've added more games to the library we weren't expecting. But the fact that they've done nothing and they've been silent on it, it's not that they're never not giving out free stuff, because look, all the companies in the world right now, most of them aren't giving out free things. Like Warner Brothers just released Scoob, their new CGI adaptation of Scooby-Doo to iTunes and all that overnight. Was going to the cinema, but obviously cinemas are dead at the moment. So they just went, no, we're just selling it straight to the consumer. They're not giving that out for free. But, you know, companies like Ubisoft are doing free games and all this sort of stuff. That's all great. But Nintendo just didn't say anything. It's not as if they didn't have things to give out. They just decided not to make any noise about it. And, like, they had their Indie Direct and their Mini Direct. And the Mini Direct being that it's a mini, they tend to just drop that out of nowhere and be like, oh, here, you know, it's up now. There's no hype for that one. So like Ollie said, if they had have just said, hey, you know, there's a new mini direct coming tomorrow, you know, and then 8 hours later we have it, people would have been okay with that. But they were so silent, and it confuses me that they're so silent. And especially when the new president, Furukawa, has come from Germany, and he came over and he basically made statements like, you know, I know what the Western audience wants, because he spent like 10 years working for Nintendo in Germany. And since he started, we've had like worse communication from Nintendo than we had when, what's his name? The guy that was in charge for a while. He was the banker.
Kimishima?
Yeah. He was literally a banker, and he did a better job than what Furukawa's done in all the messaging. And he's the guy who, you know, stood in front of millions on a live stream around the world and announced the Switch to everyone. So the fact that Nintendo is just being silent is the part that's confusing me the most. Not the fact they're not giving free stuff or anything, just they're being so silent. And it worries me for the future. If they don't have anything, or if they don't want to say anything, they're just going to be like, you know, crickets playing in the background because there's no other noise to be made.
Yeah. And it's like, I just want to like mention that, like, I don't expect Nintendo to give free stuff like other companies have. But like, if they did, it's not like they don't have like a lot of stuff that they could offer. Like, you know, just, you know, for a month, let's say, you could make the SNES app, you know, not require Nintendo Switch Online. You know, you could say like, hey, you know, for the time being, you can play Tetris 99 online without having a Nintendo Switch Online subscription.
Yeah.
So like, there's so much that they could do that would just really be helpful to a lot of people right now. And to see them doing nothing and saying nothing, it doesn't feel like the family friendly Nintendo that we've come to, you know, enjoy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest there, Ollie, was, yeah, they could have just made something like the NES and SNES apps for free outside of Nintendo Online. And, you know, it wouldn't affect people like us who have subscriptions, but that means that there would be a lot of kids who would have access to these games and would be able to play these games and potentially get their parents involved as well, who don't have subscriptions. And I think, I guess we're also in a privileged position where three guys in a podcast can get together and complain about not getting free stuff. But when you compare the fact that Nintendo has just, as Luke mentioned, just been completely silent on everything, just hasn't been communicating anything whatsoever. I mean, we still don't know whether or not they're going to make any real announcements over the Summer Game Fest period, because they haven't partnered up or announced any sort of partnership with that initiative to make these big announcements that would normally come over that E3 period, between E3 and Gamescom even. So we just don't know if we're going to hear anything at all. I mean, we'd assume that we would, because it's just money on the table in that sense, where other companies are coming in and making their own announcements and saying, look how great our games are, and Nintendo is just continually silent. I mean, surely they would be making some announcements of some sort, but there's just going into it blind, just not hearing anything at all. I mean, like, it's all the noise is being taken up by all these other developers and games creators, and like, Nintendo's just not saying anything, both the US or the Japan offices. It's very, very odd. I think I'd be very curious to know what their communication is like at the moment. I mean, Nintendo is an enormous company with enormous amounts of money. They're surely not incompetent people over there. They know what they're doing, but no one else just knows what they're doing at this point. And that's what's just so very confusing. There's just no real direction in what's happening with these systems.
Yeah.
And I think like we know that Nintendo is a more traditional company. So, you know, transitioning to working from home is probably not something that they anticipated and had systems in place for. But we also know that, like, Japan has been sort of working from home for a couple of months now, or vast amounts of Japan have been. So it kind of feels like you should have those systems in place by now, even if it took you a little while to get going. It's been a couple months. It's going to be a few more months.
Well, and that's the other side of it too, yeah. Is that not everyone that works for Nintendo is a developer. You've got people in marketing, yeah. You've got people in logistics, you've got people in just administration as a general area. And these folks are all having to work from home too. But it's like there was a movie studio, they do animation. It took them 6 days to go from fully in the office to fully working from home. And in that time, in that 6 days, they got people up and started over the period of time. But by the end of it, they're all working from home without an issue. And these guys, same as Nintendo, had nobody working from home prior to that, and now the whole studio is. So you would imagine a company like Nintendo, who has probably infinite resources, could do something a little faster for everything that's not active game development. Obviously, R&D, probably not going to be able to work from home on that, because you can't take, you know, prototype samples of hardware that's not announced or anything out of the secure space. But marketing, you know, finance, administration, all these other areas of Nintendo could be working from home, and they could have been doing so within half a day. But if they are, they're not doing anything. They're not saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, all we've seen really from their marketing department is a few wallpapers every now and then. And it's just such a strange situation where it feels like Nintendo isn't really there at all.
I think on the upside of that, though, with getting free wallpapers, is at least I'm not paying, you know, 200 fake money coins to Nintendo Club or whatever to get those backgrounds.
That's a good point. I have been, like, enjoying the wallpapers that they've been handing out. So, you know, that's, you know, a small upside to it. I mean, what more can you say about it? Like, Nintendo's been just completely absent from, you know, the conversation around, you know, the coronavirus as a whole. What can we say that's going to really make a difference in that? Are they going to continue being absent from that conversation and we just sort of have to,
I'll put this out here. Disney, as a company, like the Disney company that do movies and everything, their theme parks have been closed. So Shanghai Disneyland closed in mid-January. Hong Kong closed just after it. Paris, Tokyo closed in early March. Paris, Orlando, and California closed mid to late March. So basically by the end of March, they've all been closed. Ever since they started announcing the parks were closing, they've been tweeting out recipes for some of their more popular foods so people can make their foods at home. They've had the members of the bands and the singers performing from home in their kitchens or bathrooms and then putting it all together, which we just saw Nintendo do with the Animal Crossing theme. You know, the guys are all recording from their home and they put it all together, yeah, and put it out. You know, so Disney as a company, their bread and butter is getting you into their theme parks. And they can't do that at the moment, but they're giving the theme park to you by saying, hey, here's the recipe for, you know, the gray stuff, which is the little thing from Beauty and the Beast. They're giving that out because they can. Nintendo's not done anything. The wallpapers are nice, but it's like, I'm pretty sure I can find a wallpaper online by just searching Nintendo wallpaper. The fact that Nintendo's being so silent is really the thing that's going to drag them down, because there's so much they could have done. And they're just not doing anything. And even if they have plans to,
you mentioned the Animal Crossing, you know, the artists getting together and playing a bit of the songs. I mean, that's a really nice start. Like it kind of feels like, you know, that's what every other company was doing 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And do we know if these players were actually paid for their time for getting together, or were they just kind of like, oh, do you guys want to just get together and record yourself playing this for 3 minutes and then someone else spends an hour or so?
I think it was a, hey, let's just get together and do this, because that seems to be what everyone's doing, is they're all just doing their own thing. And then
so like it's not even, you know, something necessarily that Nintendo planned on putting out there. It's just something that happened and then they could put it out there without any extra development. It's a tough situation for everyone, and I'm sure that like Nintendo has its own problems right now. But it feels a little bit lackluster after seeing, you know, every other games company basically,
yeah,
you know, do something.
I mean, Phil Spencer was tweeting out the other day after the Epic announcement with Unreal Engine 5 that game development is now starting to, it's going to be impacted going forward because they can't, you know, probably not Nintendo so much, but, you know, they can't get actors into a studio to record dialogue and they can't do motion capture on you know, animations and things. They can't get an orchestra together to record the soundtrack. It's all well and good to record, you know, a guy on his trumpet and a guy with a ukulele or something at home, but that's not good to go into a game. So going forward, game development is going to be impacted in some way, but every other aspect of the gaming company is still able to do things. So I just wish Nintendo were a little more transparent there.
Hmm. Alrighty, let's move on to some lighter topics of discussion now. Let's lift up our spirits a little more. Let's move over to the Nook Spot, the fortnightly updates on what's going on with Animal Crossing New Horizons. So the first topic is that Animal Crossing Amiibo cards are currently available for pre-order in Japan. So if you're looking for Amiibo cards to tap into your Animal Crossing village, you might be in luck if you're able to import them. But bear in mind that importing cards is a bit of a tricky deal when ordering things from places like the Japanese My Nintendo store, which only ships to Japanese addresses. You need like a third party sort of address exporter type company who will do that, which can be quite costly. This will be good for people who are looking to get Animal Crossing cards and not be susceptible to things like scalping, where people are collecting cards and boosting them up on places like eBay for ridiculous amounts of money just to get one specific character and things like that. But then also, I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, there is also quite a big community of people who are Amiibo spoofers. We won't get into the logistics of how that works, apart from the fact that there are people, you know, who replicate Amiibo NFC scan data and put it elsewhere and use those to then bring into Animal Crossing. It's a bit of a complex process, so it's not that simple. But that's quite a thriving community. I've actually seen some of the things that people have made, and they're actually quite cool. Little crafty type things. They've made their own designs for cards. They've made their own little knitted figures and things like that to put NFC chips. So there is a little bit of an artistic part of that. How do you guys feel about this? Have you guys ever been into collecting Amiibo cards and things? Or how have your Amiibo collections gone in general?
I mean, I bought two packs of Amiibo cards. I have just a regular pack that I saw in a shop like 2 months after everyone else started selling them. And I also got the Sanrio Hello Kitty set, which, you know, isn't compatible with New Horizons. I mean, you get like little photo frames of the people in them, but, you know, you can't get a new villager for that. I think it's a really good idea to start selling them again. I just wish that it wasn't in the same format that they sold them in originally, which is, you know, a blind pack of cards. Because I think, like, it'll help reduce scalping, but as long as it's blind, there's still going to be some level of that.
Well, you're still going to get people buying 10 packs just to try and get their favorite card anyway, so...
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it doesn't eliminate the problem, but like, it certainly helps. Because, like, it's nuts right now. You go onto something like eBay... and you know, you type in basically any given character, and the price is ridiculous. I tried to get just some random villager for one of my friends. It was their favorite villager that had it in, you know, all of the games, and it was like $120 for the card. Oof. It's like, well, it's like, who's paying this?
Twice the price of the game.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a good idea. I do just want to point out with the Amiibo spoofing is like, we don't really super know the legality of that. So we're not suggesting you go out and do it. It's a little bit of a gray area. It may be technically against the law. It may not be. We don't really know. I don't think it's ever been tested in court, and I think it's really unlikely to ever be tested in court. Because, you know, who's going to bring an Amiibo case to court? But yeah, just keep in mind, like, we don't really know, you know, if that's super okay to Nintendo.
I think the bigger problem would be people making the spoofs and then selling them. I think that'd be a real big issue.
I think that's absolutely an issue. That is something that we saw a little bit with Breath of the Wild, when the Zelda Amiibo were a little bit scarce. There were some people selling things, and as far as I know, there were a couple that got taken down. So, you know, don't go selling knockoff Amiibo. That's not on.
That's just bad news.
Yeah, but you know, we'll let you, you know, look into that side of things yourself, because you know, there's a lot of information out there. So,
What about you, Luke? Are you going to get some new Animal Crossing Amiibo
card? No. I have all the figures. I have all of them. Even though I'm not an Animal Crossing fan, I have all the figures because I'm a compulsive Amiibo collector, and I have all but four of the figurines. I don't have the gold Mega Man or the gold and silver Mario, and I don't have the 6.5 foot plush Yoshi one. They're the only ones I'm missing. But I have Box Boy, I have Monster Hunter, I have all of them. Anyway, no, I'm not getting the cards. I don't care. They don't actually make the game. You don't, you know, scan a card in and get access to like some super secret item. You can't get any other way. It doesn't drop 5 gold nuggets or other things. It's just random, useless stuff that it gives you, and I don't care. It does let you
have a villager move in if you want to. But like, I think kind of like one of the really exciting parts about Animal Crossing is like seeing who turns up next, who turns up in your campsite, or who you find on island tours. So, I mean, it's definitely good if you've got like one villager that you really want to get rid of.
I mean,
for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is just that with the cards, it's the reason I didn't get them in the first place is there was no end in sight when they announced them. They never said there's going to be 50 cards and that's the end of it. They just said, oh, this is the first series of cards. And so, okay, cool. You know, and it could be 50 cards was the maximum. It could be 300. It could be 1,000. Who knows? Because there was no limit, it was one of the things where I didn't want to start and have like an incomplete set or you know, not be able to get the one that I wanted without having to pay $120 to some guy from Uganda on eBay. So I just left it because it's not my thing. I've got the figurines and they're all in a box now because, you know, there's so many amiibos. I just don't have space to display them all. So, yeah, the cards are not my thing.
Yeah, fair enough. Furthermore, there's also a new official Animal Crossing New Horizons manga series, which will be starting next month, which was announced in Korokoro magazine, if you're into more Animal Crossing content outside of just the game itself. So be sure to look into that if manga is your thing. Let's move over to games we're playing. So, Luke, you can start us off. What games have you been playing?
What haven't I been playing? There's so much. I've finished off Munch's Odyssey, which just hit Switch on Friday. So I was playing that for a review elsewhere. That's fine. It's just Munch's Odyssey, but, you know, with some shinier visuals. Did the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 campaign remaster, which is a mouthful of a title. that, unfortunately, is not worth the price. It's like $70, I think it is, for a six-hour game. And that's assuming that you've never played it before. If you've played it before, you probably shave an hour off that runtime.
Does it have the online components or is it just the campaign?
Just the campaign. Because they've got Warzone now, because they've got Call of Duty Warzone, they're like, if you want multiplayer, that's where we want you to go. So it makes sense. I just wish they'd either put Modern Warfare 3 remaster into it as well, made it like 2 and 3, or made it cheaper. The other one I've been playing is Elder Scrolls Online, the new Greymoor expansion. Which is out end of May for PC and that, and early June for consoles. And I've been playing another game, but I can't talk about it because I'm under NDA on that one. But that is one that should be out this week.
I've been moving the past 2 weeks, so I haven't had a lot of time to play a lot of games.
So you've been paying moving out.
Oh, I did buy it, and then I was like, wait a minute, why did I buy this? I have to live this like right now.
So you're a real life fart.
So I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition remaster-ish of the 2011 classic Xenoblade Chronicles. I do have a written preview up on books.net, which you can go look. I'm kind of my hands are tied a little bit about how much I can say, but it does look fantastic. It does run reasonably okay. I found that it is a little bit muddy in visuals as far as docked mode goes. But there's also a lot of quality of life additions that I think will make a huge difference, both to veteran players who, you know, love the game, have played it hundreds of times, and also to new players, because it's been one of those games that it's been really easy to bounce off of. I know a lot of people have said, you know, like, I tried to get into this, but there's so many systems and it's like really difficult. And I think this does a really good job of being a much more welcoming version of the game. So full review up for that a couple days before the game comes out. I think it's on the 27th. It's when the embargo
lifts. 11 o'clock on the 27th.
Yeah. So, yeah, full review up for that. I think Paul is also reviewing it for you, Luke.
Yep.
So Paul and I have been chatting a little bit about it. And, yeah, just really, really solid experience. So look out for the full review on that. because that is coming and it is going to be extremely long.
I've never played a Xenoblade Chronicles game, and I remember when it came out on the Wii, and I kind of was interested in it, but I think around that time I think by that point I'd gotten myself a 360 and maybe a PS3, so I was just playing a lot of longer form games on that one. Is this game worth jumping in on now? Like, what is it, 11, 12 years later? Does it still hold up? Is it an interesting game to come into now fresh?
I think so, especially because... So, Xenoblade Chronicles 1 and 2 are sort of connected in a way. I can't really go into that too much because, again, I'm very much bound by NDAs. But they are connected, and both of them are really fantastic games. So, if you're interested in it, even just... you know, you think it looks kind of cool, I think definitely, like, go for it. Because this is far and away the best way to play the game. And, you know, that leads you into Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which is also a really good game, but has some very tropey anime stuff in it. So this is, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles without, as I called it in my preview, the tactical chest-mounted airbags. to put it politely.
Nice. Fair enough.
But yeah, it's definitely a good jumping in point. About as good as you're gonna get, really.
Cool. As for me, I've been playing Uncharted Lost Legacy on PS4. So that's like the sort of sequel, not sequel, to Uncharted 4, which came out about a year after that original game had come. Really enjoyed it. Actually really probably enjoyed it quite a lot more than Uncharted 4, just because it was a smaller game, a little more tightly knit. Wasn't just kind of as ridiculously bombastic as Uncharted 4 was with its really, really long globetrotting and all that kind of stuff. And at the moment, I'm just working my way through platinuming the game. I've got about 4 or 5 trophies left to go. Really enjoyed that one. Good fun.
Cool.
Let's go into eShop recommendations. So, Ollie, you can start us off with your recommendations.
Well, on sale this week is basically all the Capcom games. Capcom does this every 2 or 3 months. They just chuck everything they've got currently, except for like whatever the most recent one is, on sale. So like the sales sort of range from anywhere between like 20% off all the way up to, you know, 50, 60, sometimes even 70% off. So jump on that because Capcom make fantastic games and they're all of really fantastic price right now. Also, Hand of Fate 2. Australian developed game, sequel to one of my favorite games of all time, and Hand of Fate 2 is no exception to that either. It is absolutely amazing. The Switch version holds up pretty well. I wouldn't say it's the best way to play it, but if you've got a Switch and interested in playing Hand of Fate, do it. It's sort of like a card-based Dungeons and Dragons, but also action-based adventure. there's nothing quite like it. But that is, I think, what was it? Oh, goodness. It is $12, 60% off, which is just an incredible price for it. I own it on every other platform, and I bought it on Switch this morning when I saw that price. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Luke, what about you?
I just have the one, because I did have a couple of Capcom games in there. But as Ellie mentioned, they're pretty much all on sale. But mine just came out on Friday, and it's Elder Scrolls Blades. It is the mobile game that hit a couple of years ago. It just officially left its early access phase, like, on Wednesday on mobile. So we have the full version now on Switch as well. And if you've been playing it on mobile since day one, or even any time in between, you can transfer your progress from the mobile version to the Switch version, so you don't have to start over. And then if you want, you can transfer it back and can, you know, go back and forth between the two. I like it. It's you know, it's 5-minute Elder Scrolls adventures, really. You know, you jump in, you go out, do a quest, you know, kill some bandits, get some lumber, come back in, upgrade a ruin in the town to be a new house, you know, then maybe jump into the arena, do a combat fight or two, and then, you know, that's sort of you're done for the day. It is free to play, so it's free to get, and there is a starter pack. I think it's $23 to buy, and you get a whole bunch of, you know, copper and lumber and all that sort of stuff to jumpstart you in the game. But, you know, you don't have to buy that and you don't have to buy anything. So if you're an Elder Scrolls fan, you want to give something a little different a go, this is definitely a very different experience. So it's what I'm suggesting.
I remember when this game was announced at E3 a couple of years ago, and Bethesda had that demo of someone with their phone in a meeting playing it. And it was like, oh, you can play an Elder Scrolls game without being seen actually playing a game. Something stupid like that. And now that I'm thinking about how everyone is stuck at home working from home, and now you can just do it on your Nintendo Switch and it doesn't actually matter anymore. All right, my pick would be What the Golf, which is coming to Nintendo Switch. What's the date on that one?
It's like the 22nd, I think. 22nd or 23rd.
Of course, yep. So yeah, What the Golf coming out on the 22nd of May. So a couple of days after this, or about 3 or 4 days after this podcast comes out. So that takes it down to like $22.50 from $30, which is a pretty decent saving. I mean, that's, if you take away $7.50, then that's like, you know, 1 month subscription to Apple Arcade where you could, again, play What the Golf and about 100 other games. But this time around, I believe What the Golf comes with a two-player mode, competitive and cooperative. And yeah, it just looks like a lot of fun. I really loved playing this game on iOS when I had Apple Arcade for that free month. It was really, really good. Probably the only game that I really played on there. So do check that one out if you're into a ridiculously silly golf game.
Also worth noting that we will have a review for that up as well on the sometime in the next week.
Great.
I think Daniel's working on that. So
awesome. All right, let's quickly move into the release forecast and then we're done. So we've got, between now and the next episode, starting on May 19, we have Golf With Your Friends, which is not What the Golf, coming. Plus, we also have The Wonderful 101, which we mentioned a few episodes ago, having a successful Kickstarter to bring those games back out on Nintendo Switch. And I think PC, it's coming to PC, right? Or it is out on PC?
PC, PS4, and Switch.
And PS4, right, there we go. May 26th, we've got Minecraft Dungeons finally coming. This one's been in the pipeline for a long time, right? I remember seeing this at PAX
a couple of years
ago.
It was definitely at PAX Australia last year. It's been in development for about 2 years. They sort of just kept pushing it back. But it was at E3 last year where it was announced it was coming to Switch.
Right, okay. Cool, and that's the dungeon crawling one, right?
Diablo cross Minecraft, basically.
Yep, cool. That's multiplayer?
Yeah, 4 players.
Cool. Yes, that'll be a good one for people to play. May 28, we've got Shantae and the Seven Sirens coming. So if you're a Shantae fan, you've got another one to look forward to. May 29, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, which Ollie will have the review for.
Yep.
And then we've also got the trifecta of Legendary Collection, XCOM 2 Collection, and the Bioshock Collection coming out as well. Now, XCOM 2 Collection, what does that include? Obviously, it's got XCOM 2. Is there DLC that comes with it?
It's XCOM 2 main, the massive expansion, and the 4 sort of smaller piece expansions.
Right, so we don't have XCOM 1 on the Switch yet.
No, right? XCOM Enemy Unknown. There was a PC version and a console version. That's not coming to Switch at this point, which is bizarre.
Okay. Yeah, that's very odd.
Oh, it's in a completely different engine. So I think they ported over this engine just to...
Oh, I'm not saying that. To make it work. It just makes me think of that video they put out saying, hey, you know, all these events happened in the first XCOM game. And we're like, that's not on Switch. Nobody knows what happened.
Yeah.
Can I point out, though, with the 2K games, they are a little weird in how you can get them. XCOM 2 is digital only here. If you want a retail copy, if you want a physical version, you'll have to like import it from the US. Bioshock the Collection, you get all 3 games on the card, but none of the DLC. So all the story expansions and bits and bobs are all download only for that. Whereas Borderlands, you get the first Borderlands on the card, but Borderlands pre-sequel and 2 are DLC. So you get codes for those. So right.
And that comes from the limitation of the cards, though, right? Because you can only get like 32 gig cards or 16 gig cards.
16, I think, is what they're using at the moment for most. Right. But so I don't know why Bioshock, you get all 3 Bioshocks on one card, but you only get 1 Borderlands on the card. That confuses me, but that's how they've done it
in a bit of a strange way. But, you know, it's probably just whatever way they thought they could fit it in.
Of games.
I will point out, Virtuous are doing the Bioshock ports, and we know Virtuous are really good with their Switch stuff, and they've done a lot of stuff, whereas Borderlands is being done by another team that I've not heard of before, so maybe that's why.
Well, between now and the next episode, there's a lot of games to look forward to. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Ollie. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Chocobalt, Chocobalt.
They can find me at RenderMan7. Which we've established before. Angelo knows what that means.
And you can find me on Twitter as well, at Mangello. That's M-A-N-J-E-L-L-0. Be sure to head to Vooks.net for further news and reviews of all the latest coming out from Nintendo in Australia. And follow the site on Twitter. It's Vooks.net, just spelled out as is. No punctuation required.
Yeah, not Vooks.com. Not Vooks.com. That's a book thing that's not related to this at all.
Yes, Vooks.net, not .com.
And also, join the Discord. Jump in and have a chat with everyone in the Discord.
Yeah, join the Discord. bit.ly/VooksDiscord. We've had a lot of new people join lately, and it's great.
You want to chat Nintendo? That is the place to go to chat Nintendo.
And to get them turnips. Be sure to do that as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, guys, for joining me this week. We'll see you next fortnight. Bye-bye.